He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. Raj.
It's been a while since we've had like one of these, so you know it's
well, it's fine. Been what, like two games?
Oh, that's true. But we need a podcast after that game though, I guess. I didn't have to talk about it. Didn't have to discuss it. Didn't have to articulate my thoughts on it. I was actually in El Segundo watching South Bay play, so didn't really have to.
Was that game competitive?
South Bay actually was on the correct end of things, so they were actually blowing out their opponent during this. But yes,
there you go. This was a thorough and utter ass whooping at the hand of the Oklahoma City Thunder, who winds up winning 121-92, and Raj, wasn't even that close.
It was in the first quarter. First quarter was closer than that score would.
I think it got up to double digits though in the first quarter, and it absolutely did.
it got up to 17 very quickly. But
yeah, it was not. You know,
we were up 10. We were up
at one point. The game was tied. How about that?
We were up 7-2. And then Oklahoma City threw a 9-0 punch, and JJ took a timeout. You know that it's always fun to – not fun, but it's interesting to watch. When a coach throws their first timeout, it's like, all right, let's settle in. Like, they threw the first punch. And then OKC comes out and just throws three other daggers. And so you just know, like, oh, all right, it's that type of game.
Just – All right. That last punch hurt. All right. Now you're on feet. Wham! Like,
yeah. It's like the boxer in the corner. Like, you know, you patch up the little hits. And you're like, all right, you're ready to go back there? Yeah.
Yeah.
They come back. Yeah. Just gushing blood. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where, like, your trainer there in the corner is like, hey, man, avoid the right hand. Stay away from the right. Yeah. Stay away from the body. Get away from him. Get away. Boom. Like,
just, I got 50 hands out there. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Man, here's where I kind of want to start, because I don't know about you. I treated this one like a barometer game, right? A measuring stick game. And had the Lakers won, we'd be sitting here saying that, oh my God, they're in that class,
right?
They belong. They're getting LeBron back.
Yeah,
this is what they did without LeBron. So, like, if I'm gonna be fair as an analyst, given my expectations going in, I have to, Raj, I have to say that the Lakers are way far away from that tier of basketball team, like, really, really far away. And now I think they got an outlier bad game from Luka, and I thought they got an outlier bad game while it mattered from Austin. And we'll talk about that stuff over the course of the game. But I also thought, Raj, that up and down this roster, one team had a bunch of guys who understand what they should be doing out there, and the other one was the Lakers. And like, I did the Hoops Tonight playback with Jason, and I thought he put it well when he said this was an organizational loss. This was from the top down. I thought JJ was thoroughly outcoached. I thought the Lakers were ill prepared. They were the Thunder were on the second night of a back to back in this one. You would never have known it. Neither from a physical standpoint and like how much pep they had in their step, and also from a preparation standpoint as well. And then I just also think, like, we were talking about it in the Slack, or I guess you and Sabrina were talking about it in the Slack. The Thunder just have guy after guy after guy that they have hit on. And the only time Dalton connects seems to like look like an NBA player is when it doesn't matter at all. So, and that was a first round pick. So, yeah, I don't like, you know, that's kind of where I feel like we have to start, is that like, this was not just one basketball team beating a basketball team. This was one organization bending another organization over a chair.
You mentioned outlier, bad Luka game, outlier, bad Austin game. And I think you're correct to an extent in terms of those guys won't play as poorly. But this was not an outlier defensive game. And this was not an outlier, like,
yeah, that's a great point.
Defensive execution game. They forced the Lakers into, like, this wasn't just Luka and Austin blatantly throwing the ball away. This was by force. This was pressure at every single point of the game. They were up. They challenged a play up 32. Like, I was in shock of that. They were up 32 late.
And won the challenge.
Whenever it was, they did win the challenge, and then Chet eventually picked up his fourth foul on the subsequent play. But in any case, yeah, their defense was locked in from the start. I thought the Lakers weren't prepared for that in any capacity. I mean, you go from the Charlotte Hornets defense to the Oklahoma City Thunder's defense. I'm not sure there's a more drastic jump in just seriousness and execution. And their defense was locked in. Again, I agree with you that those two guys won't play as poorly, but this is the closest, and I don't say this lightly, I've been following the NBA for now as long as I had, so I've kind of seen different teams come through. This is the closest to the KD Warriors I've seen. Like, Denver's had a really great team in the recent years. Obviously, Boston's had a really great team. Oklahoma City feels like the first one where, if you remember with the KD Warriors, the Lakers weren't good at the time, but you mess up for a 3-minute stretch and the game's over. Like, there's no coming back from it. Shea's not missing four.
The Warriors were like, oh, the KD Warriors.
The KD Warriors.
In the KD Thunder.
KD Warriors. Yeah. So a 3-minute stretch, all of a sudden Klay has three threes. You know what I mean? And it's just this, you know, tornado that hits you. And Oklahoma City does it in a different way. Sharknado. Yeah. It was funny because Billy Mack, when Caruso came in, was like, Caruso doesn't really score. And then right away, Caruso hits a three, hits a little jumper, gets a steal and breakaway dunk. And
I honestly, Raj, I thought Caruso dominated tonight. Dominated. Like, he came in, and because at the beginning of the game, Luka was like doing a really good job, I thought, of attacking Kayson Wallace, one of his shoulders, right? And I thought he was doing a really good job of like playing through Kayson Wallace. And then they brought in Caruso, and Caruso's like, you don't do that shit to me.
By the way, you know? Really quick, just the abundance of wealth where Caruso comes off your bench.
Yeah.
Like, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Roster. Could you imagine just like letting that dude walk, man? So I don't know. Like, I just, but that's the fucking point though, man. Like, when I say it's an organizational win, Caruso is the perfect guy to talk about here, because the Lakers let Caruso walk for nothing. Like, they backed themselves into a corner and told themselves they had to choose between Caruso and Talen Horton-Tucker, and then chose the guy who's not in the league anymore over Caruso. Meanwhile, the Thunder were presented an opportunity to trade, you know, one of their core pieces at the time in Josh Giddey. They gave up a core piece to bring in Alex Caruso because they properly valued this dude, especially on the contract that he was on when they traded for him, right? Which, by the way, the Lakers could have got him at a further discount. So it's like when I talk about like organizational beatdown, that is the example to point to, is Alex Caruso, because he comes into the game and it was already kind of drifting towards, you know, it was already the rope was like slipping from their hands. And then Caruso entered the game and was like, yoink, like, this is my rope, mother bleepers. Like, this is that you guys are not winning. And I thought he completely dominated Luka. And I thought he made Reeves look about as bad as he's looked as a professional basketball player whenever Caruso was on him. I see in the chat, you know, people already lining up to dump on Reeves. frankly, I was more disappointed with Luka in this game than I was Reeves for large chunks of it. But yeah, I do want to like hammer home the point of it being an organizational thing, because like you made the point in the chat, like it's AJ Mitchell comes out of nowhere. They, you know, Kayson Wallace is a guy that they just found out of nowhere. They Isaiah Joe was a guy who was a cast off from Philly that they turned into a good player. That's the shit that the Dodgers do.
Yeah, they're the bar right now in the NBA. And they obviously had like a little bit of in terms of there was an adjustment period, right? There was teams laughing at them. Like, why are they tanking at this at such a deliberate level, right? What are they doing? But I think they've cultivated, and just with their GM Sam Presti being there as long as he's been, they really have a culture now, and there's an attention to detail where, you know, there's some of the stuff you can joke about where they do the post-game interviews with eight of the guys, but I think like it all fits into this really focused team. And you know, Shea had this quote which is insane, I don't know if you've heard it, where somebody asked him, you know, you guys kind of struggled through the playoffs. He's like, I don't like the way we won, which is like, that's a quote. You just don't hear players say that. And it's a little bit, you know, I'm sure he's like kind of extending it, but I think you see that this year. There is no drop off from last year. There is no championship hangover, and they're young enough where they can't really even be hungover. Yeah. So. Yeah. So they can't really drink. And so it helps in that.
There are like 13 stories about the fact that they did.
Right. There's no alcohol in the locker room.
Like they had Alex Caruso teaching them how to pop champagne, just such like a perfect. So like good. I'm an English major, so I look for these things. And Alex Caruso literally teaching these guys how to celebrate winning a championship, having been there before.
yeah. No, it's amazing. And then finding Mark Daigneault right as their coach and sticking with him. How many teams would have let him go? Right. Oh, thank you for doing the rebuild. Like, now let's go get the, you know, name, the coach with the name recognition. No, they stuck with their guy through and through, and I think they're being rewarded for it. This is kind of what you'd hope. And now this is how you get, now they can take these risks, and now they find a player that's at the 55th overall pick last year, whatever AJ Mitchell was, and Mark Daigneault has enough kind of in the room to start him. Just like, yeah, I'm just going to start this guy. Yeah, I don't care. I'm going to start him because he fits kind of what we want to do, and the whole team accepts it. I don't know. This is just a really beautifully built team, and it's almost unfair. I tweeted this out that Shea, who is climbing my ranks of like favorite, just best players in the league, you don't really get the appreciation because he just puts in 30 a night that you just take that for granted. You're like, oh, Shea had 33, 5, and 8 tonight. He's played in what 5 fourth quarters this year, so his numbers could balloon even more if they were competitive in some of these games, if other teams were competitive. But no, this is just an amazingly built team. It's an unfair, almost, surrounding supporting cast of Shea's around him. Best defense in the league. I mean, Caruso, Kayson Wallace, Lou Dort didn't even play tonight. Think about if that guy was also Jaylen out there. J-Dub, who was, you know, the second best player on a championship team last year. So this is a great team. The Lakers have I'm with you, though, of it being a measuring stick. Obviously, LeBron being out is the context towards it. But, they put those sticks together, and OKC is quite higher. Now Lakers have time, and I think they're behind OKC, of course, in continuity and all that stuff. But this was definitely important to have this. You don't play OKC again until February, but it's at least good to look up and know, okay, this is what we're chasing. All right, we have a lot of work to do.
Unless the takeaway is we're way too far from that team.
I don't think Luka feels that or awesome. Like watching, like Luka takes this matchup. It's funny, like getting to know stars, like watching them every game. There's a level of seriousness Luka at least started this game with. Like there was very much an intention, like, no, I want this game. Like me and Shea are seen as whatever in the same tier. I want this game. And then quickly, obviously, he realized like this is not happening this game, but I thought at least he started this one, and I don't think they at least feel that way. Maybe the team does. I don't know. But one game, I don't think we'll decide that. But definitely right now, yeah, OKC. I mean, maybe just league-wide. I have not watched a team with this much talent and just precision on both ends as OKC this year.
I got to talk about Luka. I was thoroughly unimpressed with the game that he played. I thought the ESPN did that thing with like their AI, like shot chart. Did you see that? And it was,
I don't have ESPN still, so I have Spectrum, so thankfully I can watch the game.
Well, but, so ESPN does this thing where they basically use AI to recreate the player taking the shot.
Okay.
Like, it's not just the X's and O's on the shot chart. It's actually, they actually like show the player taking the shots. Right.
Okay. Okay.
And, the shot chart that they compiled was Austin and Luka's shots and the types of shots that they were trying to take to that point in the game. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Luka's attempts, and I'll look at it statistically here too, but a lot of Luka's attempts to that point in the game were step back three pointers and step back mid-range jumpers or deep mid-range jumpers and stuff. And it was a lot of settling. And like the reason that I would say that I actually liked Austin's game a little bit more than Luka's, or quite a bit more than Luka's, was because you looked at Austin's shot in that, or shot types in that graphic that ESPN put together, and it was drives to the basket, it was attempts at the rim. Even if they got blocked, he was at least trying to get downhill. And to me, like, we've talked a lot over the years about the superstar setting the tone. And once you see a superstar start to settle like that offensively too, like, especially, I felt like the rest of the Lakers just kind of like also started settling and also didn't really know what to do offensively. Now look at this I'll look at this statistically to see if it backs up that, you know, what I'm kind of talking about here. So Luka went 7 of 20 from the field, 1 of 7 from 3-point range, 4 of 7 from the free throw line. Austin went 4 of 12 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3-point range, and shot 6 free throws. So like, Austin shot more free throws, or one fewer free throw on just a little more than half the field goal attempts. And that's kind of what I'm talking about here, right? Like, one guy was trying to get to the rim and one guy was trying to get downhill and the other guy was Luka. So like, I don't know. I just really didn't like, you said that like, this was a game that Luka at least started to take seriously from the get, but I actually was pretty unimpressed with the game that Luka played.
Yeah, I thought their entire, it's funny, listen to, you don't really hear this from the Laker, I guess, the analysts, but James Worthy and Stu Lance, honestly, obviously you were listening to ESPN, but Stu Lance was like, they need to stop running pick and roll because Luka is getting blitz. And I don't know if I agree with that. Like, I feel like if you're getting blitz, you've kind of done the
job. You're doing your job, yeah.
Yeah, you're doing what the pick and roll job was. And James Worthy, even at halftime, was saying, against this Oklahoma team, you can't really run pick and roll because it's too stagnant, is the point he was making. You need more motion offense. And the Lakers just don't have the personnel of that. Like, that's just not their personnel of having a bunch of motion offense. But it's why I've banged the drum all summer pretty much of, hey, we got to find stuff where Luka and Austin work together. Like, there's got to be stuff where those two have more cohesion on the court rather than each of them watching the other cook. Right, I've used the kitchen example where one guy's watching the other guy pour the oil in the pan and all that. It's like they're not working at all together. And I feel like you see some of the downsides of that. I thought once they, and you could see Luka on the, I don't know if they showed this on ESPN, but you could see Luka like doing this every time, kind of like, hey, they're coming at me. Like, you guys got to move. Like, and I felt like Rui, Vando, Hayes, all these screeners, even Ayton, I thought improved as the game went on. They were too slow in their reaction time. Like, it was just like, once the screen come, they reacted way too late and all these turnovers were created. Not excusing Luka for that, but yeah, I just thought we were not connected at all offensively. And again, Oklahoma City is just too good. Like, they will, if they see that you have any weakness, like if they see a cut on your arm, they're going to bust it open. Like, it's just, that's how they operate. But yeah, I thought the execution and the game plan just was not good enough. And again, the lead ballooned to 17, I believe, with 3 or 4 minutes left in the first quarter. By then, like, now you're in survival mode. That's where Austin started just like, okay, I'm just gonna put my head down. I don't care if Chet's at the rim waiting for me.
That's the thing, though. I respect that.
No, for sure. I think that's a great approach, and I like that he did that. But what I'm saying was, I didn't like the game plan at all. I just thought we were not prepared for what OKC was going to bring. Just once they stopped our pick and roll, I feel like we had nothing to go to. It was just like, all right, what are we going to do? That's how we don't, that's how you don't make a field goal in the second quarter till what, 4 minutes left. I think they didn't have a field goal until Marcus Smart, like, just put in this, put in a heap from three.
Well, like, so I also thought that, like, the Lakers game plan kind of played into,
oh, absolutely.
Like played into the not only was it ineffective in that they didn't have a plan after the pick and roll didn't work, but after a pick and roll didn't work, they were passing the ball to Austin and ISO, and he's not the athlete that would attack in isolation. If you're going to do that, Austin has to have the first pick and roll. And if that doesn't work, then you wrote, like, if you're going to do the your turn, my turn thing and have them on opposite sides of the court, I would rather start possessions with Austin running a pick and roll, seeing if he can get downhill, and your release valve then is Luka, who can get an advantage in ISO. But, like, they kept on passing the ball to Austin, who, yeah, like, this dude Johnny is like, you know, thrilled about the game that Reeves played, and apparently really happy that the Lakers lost this one so that he could dunk on Reeves. Yes, Austin has athletic. He's a white dude. Like, I'll just say it, like, he's a white guy, and he has athletic shortcomings that make it difficult for him to turn the corner on more athletic, physical, longer defenders. And that's been the deal with him. That was the deal with him against Minnesota last year too, when Nikhil Alexander Walker and even Mike Conley was bothering him in that series. And so, like, I don't know. I thought the only times that the Lakers looked even, like, okay were when Ayton was setting that, like, he does a really good job of like setting that, you know, multiple screens on the same pick and roll. And the only time that I thought the Lakers looked even remotely organized was when Ayton was setting pick and rolls for Austin. Austin was getting downhill, and you would do it that way. And like, yeah, I'm going to respect Austin trying to get downhill a lot more than Luka shooting step back three pointer after step back three pointer after step back three pointer. And I know that he was getting blitzed, and I'm with you that, like, the Lakers role players, like, one of the things that Jason and I were kind of marveling at was how quickly OKC makes their decisions. Ball gets into the middle of the court, boom. Ball gets over here, boom. Pick and roll over here, bang. That decision is making so much more quickly. And to me, that's a coaching thing. But, you know, but like the way that the Lakers tried to attack OKC tonight was fundamentally flawed. In that, like, the guy that you should be looking at to create an advantage in isolation can't, right? Like, the guy that they kept swinging the ball over to, hey, man, go to work on A.J. Mitchell, and Mitchell was just swallowing him up. And, like, yeah, that is a problem for Austin Reeves. He's getting swallowed up by A.J. Mitchell. But to me, it was like, also, I thought the game plan was poor.